Welcome to the Reformanda Initiative podcast, where we analyze and discuss Roman Catholic theology and practice from an evangelical perspective. My name is Reed Carr. I'm the Associate Director of the Reformanda Initiative, and it is great to be back for Season 2. In fact, this is Episode 1 of Season 2, and we have a great lineup for this fall and also for the spring. So much to discuss. In fact, just recently, Pope Francis published a new encyclical on October 3rd, which we'll be discussing in just a few days. And as you know, usually I'm accompanied by the director of the Reformation Initiative, Leo De Chirico, and also the communications director, Clay Kennard. But to get things off, it's just yours truly. But we'll be all back together in just a few days to discuss that encyclical and a lot of other things that are extremely important for our cause and that need to be discussed from an evangelical perspective. But today we want to get things kicked off, and I asked myself, what could we discuss today that would highlight the main themes we touched on in Season 1? And so that was kind of the idea, is just hitting on the axioms and those pillars of Roman Catholic theology that hold together the Roman Catholic theology system. And here we're talking about, if you go way back to Season 1, the nature, grace, interdependence, and also the Christ-Church interconnection that are constant themes in our discussions. And so I found an interview that was extremely interesting and I think captures in a very small audio clip all that we've discussed and highlights the thesis and the theme of the Reformation Initiative, which that being that Roman Catholic theology Roman Catholicism is a severely flawed theological system, and that system is in dire need of radical biblical reformation. And so I turned back the clock a bit and found this clip that is from the end of 2018. It's from December of 2018, and it comes from a very well-known political commentator in the United States named Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is the founder of the Daily Wire, which is based out of Los Angeles for now. In fact, he's about to move his whole team to Nashville, Tennessee. But Ben Shapiro has a weekly segment called the Sunday Special, in which he invites a guest to come into his show and ask general questions. And those guests vary quite greatly. But back in December of 2018, Ben hosted a bishop of the Roman Catholic Church, whose name is Robert Barron. In fact, Robert Barron is the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. And so they sat down and they spoke for probably close to an hour, but some of that included some very interesting theology that highlights very well and very explicitly Vatican II theology. And so we're going to play a small clip from this interview. It's only a couple minutes long, that highlights what happens when Vatican II theology begins to shape and inform your theological system. And so I'm going to play the clip. It's very short, and then we will analyze it and highlight again those pillars of Roman Catholic theology and that hold together that system that are on full display here. So again, here's Ben Shapiro interviewing the Bishop Robert Barron out of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
So let's start with the most awkward of the awkward questions. Yeah. I don't really care about this question particularly much, but I get this question a lot, which is, as a Jew, how does it feel that there are other religions that don't think you're getting into heaven? So let me ask you, what's the Catholic view on who gets into heaven and who doesn't? I feel like I lead a pretty good life, a very religiously based life in which I try to keep not just the Ten Commandments, but a solid 603 other commandments as well. And I spend an awful lot of my time promulgating what I would consider to be Judeo-Christian virtues, particularly in Western societies. So what's the Catholic view of me? Am I basically screwed here?
No. The Catholic view, go back to the Second Vatican Council, says it very clearly. I mean, Christ is the privileged route to salvation. I mean, God so loved the world, he gave his only son that we might find eternal life. So that's the privileged route. However, Vatican II clearly teaches that someone outside the explicit Christian faith can be saved. Now, they're saved through the grace of Christ, indirectly received. So, I mean, the grace is coming from Christ. but it might be received according to your conscience. So if you're following your conscience sincerely, or in your case, you're following the commandments of the law sincerely, yeah, you can be saved. Now, that doesn't conduce to a complete relativism. We still would say the privileged route and the route that God has offered to humanity is the route of his son. But no, you can be saved. Even Vatican II says an atheist of goodwill can be saved, because in following his conscience, if he does, John Henry Newman said the conscience is the aboriginal vicar of Christ in the soul. It's a very interesting characterization, that it is, in fact, the voice of Christ. If he's the Logos made flesh, right? He's the divine mind or reason made flesh, that when I follow my conscience, I'm following him, whether I know it explicitly or not. So even the atheist, Vatican II teaches, of goodwill can be saved.
Okay, so there you have it. And there's a lot going on there theologically. So what we'll probably do is go back and play snippets from this and break them down. But clearly you see right away the bishop talking about Vatican II, which clearly informs his theological ideas on responding to these key questions. But let's go back and just play a few segments at a time and discuss the bishop's responses and the implications of those responses. So let's go back to the beginning.
So let's start with the most awkward of the awkward questions.
Yeah.
I don't really care about this question particularly much, but I get this question a lot, which is, you know, as a Jew, how does it feel that there are other religions that don't think you're getting into heaven? So let me ask you, what's the Catholic view on who gets into heaven and who doesn't? I feel like I lead a pretty good life, a very religiously based life in which I try to keep not just the Ten Commandments, but a solid 603 other commandments as well. And I spend an awful lot of my time promulgating what I would consider to be Judeo-Christian virtues, particularly in Western societies. So what's the Catholic view of me? Am I basically screwed here?
Okay, so the question is clearly, Ben is asking whether he gets into heaven or doesn't. What is the Catholic's view on him as a Jew on whether or not he gets into heaven? Another way of putting this is he's asking, am I saved or am I not saved? Am I will I enjoy eternal life or will I be condemned to hell? That's another way of putting it. And Ben Shapiro is a practicing Orthodox Jew. And so he is coming at that from not a cultural Jew, but someone who does practice his faith very regularly and takes his faith very seriously. But he clearly has, as he asks this question, he clearly has a works-based mentality in mind. And he lets the bishop know about that. He says, look, not only do I obey the Ten Commandments, but I obey 603 other ones. And other than that, with his podcast and the Daily Wire, he regularly promulgates a Judeo-Christian worldview to his listeners and is a good guy generally. So he wants to know, based on that, what is the Catholic Church's stance towards him? Is he, as he puts it in his terms, is he screwed or is he not? So let's pick up now with the bishop's response to Ben Shapiro's very works-based idea of salvation.
No. The Catholic view, go back to the Second Vatican Council, says it very clearly. I mean, Christ is the privileged route to salvation. I mean, God so loved the world, he gave his only son that we might find eternal life. So that's the privileged route. However, Vatican II clearly teaches that someone outside the explicit Christian faith can be saved. Now,
okay. So the bishop is clearly okay with a works-based idea of salvation that's coming from an Orthodox Jew, and of course someone who would reject Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah. And so then his explanation becomes a little confusing. And I think it's a good example of something that sounds nice and sounds theological and sounds educated, but really is wrong and means nothing. He says that Christ is the privileged route to salvation. But that suggests that people outside of the Christian faith can also be saved, and they are saved through the grace of Christ indirectly received. And so we have to ask ourselves, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean to indirectly receive the grace of Christ to then benefit from what Christ did on the cross to the point of receiving eternal life. And so let's listen to how he explains the example he gives to receiving indirectly the grace of Christ.
Now they're saved through the grace of Christ, indirectly received. So I mean, the grace is coming from Christ, but it might be received according to your conscience. So if you're following your conscience sincerely, or in your case, you're following the commandments of the law sincerely, yeah, you can be saved. Now that doesn't conduce to a complete relativism.
I believe we spoke about this in one of our previous episodes in season one. So this is a very common theme we see in Vatican II theology. It actually has been spoken of quite a bit by Pope Francis himself, is that the guide to receiving indirectly the grace of Christ is by obeying and following your conscience. And so as you obey and follow your conscience, you are obeying and following Christ. Now, you may not know that you are, and we'll hear that you heard him say that before. You may not know that you're following Christ, but you are, because you're obeying, as Pope Francis has put it and as Vatican II has put it, the dictates of your conscience that guide you and lead you and help you benefit from that the grace of Christ indirectly. And as the bishop makes clear here to Ben Shapiro, is that the way that Ben is doing that, he is following his conscience, and he's doing that through sincerely and with his all of his heart obeying the commands of the Jewish law. And in so doing, Shapiro is following his conscience. But let's listen to the rest of the clip, and we'll give our final thoughts on it.
It's the privilege route to salvation. May God so love the world, he gave his only son, that we might find eternal life. So that's the privilege route. However, Vatican II clearly teaches that someone outside the explicit Christian faith can be saved. Now, they're saved through the grace of Christ, indirectly received. So, I mean, the grace is coming from Christ, but it might be received according to your conscience. So if you're following your conscience sincerely, or in your case, you're following the commandments of the law sincerely, yeah, you can be saved. Now, that doesn't conduce to a complete relativism. We still would say the privileged route and the route that God has offered to humanity is the route of his son. But no, you can be saved.
I think I went back and played a little bit of the clip again, so I apologize for any redundancy there. But so the bishop says very interestingly that we're not talking about relativism here. But the question is, I think we are. How are we not speaking of relativism here if basically anyone, through following the dictates of their conscience and doing the best they can be saved? And can benefit indirectly benefit indirectly from the grace of Christ, and basically the work of what he's suggesting is the work of Christ on the cross. So that's a question that we really have to face here if we're going to say that this is not relativism. It's the privileged route, he says time and again. So when I'm following my conscience, I'm following Christ, whether I know it or not. But how can the bishop say this? On what basis is he making these claims? And he said this at the very beginning. Clearly, it's Vatican II theology. He's going to the texts of Vatican II. In fact, this is clearly this is Lumen Gentium 16, which we discussed in season one, put into practice. So it's those teachings that he's basing his theology on. And we see here clearly those pillars of the Catholic theological system at work that we need to keep in mind, that hold all of Roman Catholicism together, and we cannot understand Roman Catholic theology and practice apart from these pillars. And so again, what are those pillars on which the entire Roman Catholic theological system stands? They are one, the nature, grace, interdependence, and two, the Christ Church interconnection. And the nature, grace, interdependence teaches and reminds us that in Roman Catholic theology, nature still has the ability to attain the grace of Christ and the gift of grace that comes through God. And what we mean by that is, in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered into humanity, as the Bible teaches, it devastated the relationship between nature, or the created order, and God, the Creator. to where nature had nothing to contribute to that relationship and was dependent entirely on the grace alone of God to restore that relationship. But in Vatican II theology, in Catholic theology, even pre-Vatican II, what we see taught is that nature retained the ability to play its part in receiving that grace. Yes, sin did damage that relationship, but it did not devastate it to the point where it was completely dependent on the grace of God to restore that relationship. But there were things that nature or the created order could do and can do and must do in order to restore that relationship. And then there's, of course, there's the Christ-Church interconnection, which suggests that the church is the continual incarnation of Christ on earth. So the church is Christ, and whenever the church speaks, it speaks on behalf of Christ as if Christ is speaking through the church. And with the Bishop Barron's comments here, we see both of these axioms on full display. This idea that we can be saved by following our conscience, and that we can benefit even indirectly from the grace of Christ through following our conscience, suggests that we have the ability as creatures, as creation of God, to do something in order to make that step towards God and to benefit from that grace. The problem here, of course, is that this stance entirely rejects and ignores the very clear teachings of Scripture. And if we think, even if we think of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there is a very clear teaching on this from the Apostle Paul when he said in verse 14 of chapter 2 that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So here what we see in Roman Catholicism is a misunderstanding of what the conscience is capable of, and it doesn't take into consideration the difference between a regenerate conscience and an unregenerate conscience. That is, the conscience of someone who has been saved by the gospel and someone who has not. Because our natural human nature cannot accept the things of the Spirit. It rejects them as folly. So it requires God intervening and opening our eyes to the truth. And that's something that God alone can do, only God alone can do, and which he does through his grace alone. So there's a misunderstanding of the conscience there, and we see this nature, grace, interdependence on full display. And of course, the Christ-Church interconnection is very clear because Vatican II theology is binding theology on the church. It is revelation. Just as much as Scripture and the Bible is revelation, so is Vatican II theology. So whenever the church produced that document, it was as if Christ was speaking to the church himself. And we know that Vatican II theology often, especially with Lumen Gentium 16, which is highlighted in Bishop Barron's theology of salvation, is severely flawed. There's no way to deny the fact that it rejects certain key tenets of Scripture. John 14:6, Jesus speaks, answers this question himself, saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Nowhere do we see this idea in Scripture that just by following the dictates of your conscience, following your conscience and where it leads you and trying to do good and with a sincere heart, that that's enough, and that you can indirectly receive the grace of Christ by doing that. And you may not even know it, as the bishop clearly said. You may not even know that you're seeking Christ or benefiting from his grace, but you are, because you're trying to be a good person. Nowhere do we see certainly this idea in Scripture that someone such as Ben Shapiro, who was a great guy, obviously there's no criticism to Shapiro as a person, but someone who rejects Christ as the Messiah can get to heaven. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's a tough message that our society today does not like to hear, but it's what the Bible teaches, and we have to uphold it and be faithful to it and teach it and preach it in love to our neighbor. But again, Christ clearly says that I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and you're not going to come to the Father except through confessing me as your Lord and Savior. And so that's something that the Lord does for us and opens our eyes to see the things of the Spirit as they are. So, you know, it's interesting to see again just the issues that arise so quickly out of Vatican II theology. And as we kick off into season two, it's good to reflect on what we have discussed in season one and continue to lay this foundation as we move into season two. And we'll see this highlighted big time as we discuss the Pope's new encyclical in just a few days. We'll see Vatican II theology present and on steroids, and the same ideas that Bishop Barron is discussing, we'll see in the Pope's encyclicals and his teachings to the Catholic Church. But we're super excited again just to be starting off season two, and hopefully this kind of serves as a refresher of things we discussed in season one, and helps us see in a very tangible way through the words of the bishop in response to Ben Shapiro's questions about salvation, the errors and flaw of Vatican II theology, and why it needs to be radically reformed by Scripture. And so tune in just a few days. Check in, and we will have the next episode coming up and a full season for you. So thank you to our listeners. As we always say, and as Clay is always good to remind you, if you have questions about this or anything we've said in the past in our episodes, please don't hesitate to write, and many of you have. And I think we've done a good job of responding to you. And if not, write us again, because it's not on purpose that we ignored you. So thank you to our listeners. If you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss this season, please write us. You can go to our website and find all our contact information and get in touch with us at reformandainitiative.org. And before you go, if you're looking to further your theological training and education, we've spoke often of our good friends at Union School of Theology, and really encourage you to look at what they may have to offer for you no matter where you are in the world. They have a lot of great satellite campuses and online learning opportunities, and they really are fantastic. Have an amazing staff there and amazing professors, and you will certainly benefit from any investment there. So it's Union School of Theology, ust.ac.uk. Go check them out. But again, check in soon for episode two. Thank you so much for tuning in to the launch of this season two, and we're super excited to continue to serve you in the church. And pray it as a help to you. So until next time, God bless.